Hey everybody, Buck Ballew here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Folks, let me remind you, we're brought to you by Atlanta Sports Trips. Atlanta Sports Trips is Atlanta's first all-inclusive sports travel service with the goal of sending you to see your favorite teams, be it the Georgia Bulldogs, Braves, Falcons, Hawks, Jackets, Atlanta United on the road, to see them play, but do it in style. 4- and 5-star resort accommodations, great game tickets, very cool meet and greets, tailgates, wonderful experiences all wrapped into one, and we have our next trip planned to see the Bravos in spring training. Yes, we'll be in Clearwater Beach because we wanted to combine a great beach vacation with a chance to watch spring training. We've done that with 3 days, March 10th, 11th, and 12th at the Wyndham Grand Clearwater Beach, where you're going to have your toes in the sand, a beautiful 4-star resort, and we're going to take you to see the Bravos and the Pirates in Bradenton on that Sunday, the 12th. You're going to get transfers from the hotel to the ballpark and back with a couple of very cool experiences along the way. If you would like to join us, you can go to atlsportstrips.com to book. Very limited room availability. It will sell out, and we want you aboard. Go to atlsportstrips.com for more today.
All right, everybody, welcome to this week's edition of Welcome to Matlanta. I would be Matt or Matlanta. I didn't give myself the nickname. I earned the nickname. Let's not waste any time. Let's get to this week's edition of Welcome to Matlanta.
All right, let me bring in Josh Kendall. Covers the Falcons for The Athletic, the beat writer. Good follow as well on social media to keep up with all things Falcons going on. He's kind enough to join us on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line. Josh, we appreciate you joining us. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
A lot of ground to cover here and a lot on Jalen Carter, Josh, that I wanted to pick your brain about. First of all, reading your blurb in The Athletic about Jalen, I was trying to interpret whether it was an opinion or whether it was reporting, and I want to make sure I get it right, because the last part of what you wrote was Atlanta fans need to start getting their minds wrapped around the fact that Jalen Carter is not coming to Flowery Branch. Is that opinion or is that reporting?
If I had it to do over again, if I could edit it right here on the air, I would change fact to idea. Because what I want Atlanta fans to understand is that this might not happen. This is not a shoe-in. If I knew for a fact, if I was quote-unquote reporting that the Atlanta Falcons are not taking Jalen Carter, that would have been a story unto itself. So what I wanted to do, now let me say this. I don't think the Falcons are taking Jalen Carter. I don't think that because of things I can see with my own eyes and sort of things that feel obvious to me and things I've heard. But I have not nailed down that fact enough to say I'm reporting the Falcons aren't going to take Jalen Carter. I just don't want Falcons fans sitting there on Thursday night, first round of the draft, and Jalen Carter is slipping and slipping and slipping, and it gets to 8, and everybody's like, hallelujah, here comes Jalen Carter. Because I think Jalen Carter is going to slip to 8, and I think he's going to slip right on by past the Falcons. And I just want Falcons fans to understand that that's a real, real, real strong possibility, in my opinion.
Okay, so let's follow up on that. If we assume there's nothing else legally that comes from the crash, and what we've heard, and we're only trying to piece some of this together, maybe you have more on character concerns from being late to some classes or practices, or who knows, maybe more. What am I missing that seems so egregious that we haven't heard from other talented kids, and this might be the most talented kid in the draft? What am I missing?
Okay, so let me sort of deconstruct the question a little bit, if I can. I want to take the traffic accident out of it. It's a tragic situation. I hate it for everybody involved. it's a poor decision by a college kid. I say that as a college kid who made poor decisions. I mean, I hate it, but I don't think NFL teams are holding that against him. I also do not like using the word character. Character has become such a catch-all to be, you know, anything becomes a character concern. And then some people say, well, he's got poor character and you're a bad human being. I don't want to suggest any of that. I'm saying that there are work ethic and being prepared on Sunday afternoon questions about Jalen Carter in NFL circles. Those questions existed before all this stuff popped up in Indianapolis, and those questions were significantly deepened, I think, at Georgia's Pro Day. So let's take the traffic accident out of it. Let's don't use the word character. Let's talk about the investment that these teams are making in players, particularly players who are taken in the top 10. And if you have any concern about how available and prepared that player is going to be 17 Sundays a year, that's a tough investment to make.
I don't disagree. And Josh Kendall's with us, beat writer for the Falcons. I guess the counter would be, I'll use Kirby's words, and then I'll use Todd McShay as an example. So Kirby talked about his generational talent, and you saw that on the field in the highest level of college football, not the NFL, but we all assume the SEC is the next closest thing. And on those Saturdays, Georgia got the most out of him, whether that was Kirby, Will Muschamp, Glenn Schumann, his teammates. Then Todd McShay, who was the first to bring up the word you and I just threw around, which was character concerns. But McShay came on a podcast this week and said, let's be clear, though, like the guy might have practice questions or work ethic stuff, but on those Saturdays, man, that guy worked harder than anybody. He came back from two injuries that he didn't have to, knowing his draft stock was already solidified. You don't think the Falcons or a bunch of NFL teams think in the right culture with the right coaches, we can get the best out of this talented guy?
I think that a lot of coaches think that. I also think a lot of coaches have made a lot of poor draft decisions because they thought that very thing. And I think that some coaches are figuring, I mean, as an NFL coach, you really need to remove your ego from the evaluation process, because a lot of teams have gotten in a lot of trouble by saying, I can coach this guy better than everybody else who's coached him. I can get more out of him, whether it's technique, whether it's motivation, whatever it is. I'm the guy who can unlock this guy. I think more coaches have gotten themselves in trouble doing that than have made themselves money. You know, Kirby, I know nothing about what goes on inside of the Georgia program, but I do know that Kirby Smart is invested in his players getting drafted as high as they possibly can. But you just wait until the week after the draft and all the social media posters the Bulldogs put out saying, you know, 5 first-round picks, 14 in the top 4, blah, blah, blah. Number 1 overall pick, Jalen Carter. Kirby Smart would love nothing more than that to happen, and he can push that downstream to every other recruit that he's got. So Kirby has a vested interest in selling Jalen Carter stock. So I'm not going to put a ton of weight on that. I would also argue that, and again, I'm watching this out of the side of my eye. I am not the expert here, but I would argue that they did not get 15 great Saturdays from Jalen Carter. They got some great plays, some plays that make you understand why a lot of people think he is the best football player in this draft. But I'm not sure they got 15 great Saturdays.
So that's
start to finish.
I would say that's subjective, but there's no need to go down the rabbit hole on that. But I would tell you, Josh, watching that team for 3 years with that defense, he's the best player on that defense. And I know that's not what we're talking about, the talent of it. So let's go back to the Kirby part of it. Arthur Smith calls Kirby Smart, and what you said, I would agree publicly. Kirby, it's a recruiting tool to say my kid got picked first or I had 5 first-round picks. But there's also a communication that Kirby wants to have with these coaches in the NFL that they don't want to lose trust in what he's saying because he's just blowing smoke. So Arthur Smith or any of the coaches call Kirby, not the stuff he says publicly, and, hey, shoot me straight on Jalen. If Kirby says to them, yeah, it's a rocky road, but the kid's worth it and the talent's there and you could get it right, would Arthur Smith listen to that word, and would that convince the Falcons any differently?
He might, absolutely. I don't know. I don't know how much he is swayed by Kirby or any of those guys and what they tell him versus other bits of intel he grabs. Now, you know, this is a difficult – I'm not saying that this is an easy thing or this is a shoe-in. I mean, because I'm – you know, put yourselves in Arthur Smith and Terry Fontenot's shoes on, again, that Thursday night. Jalen Carter is still on the board at number 8. And you're sitting there – again, this is just hypothetically because I want to paint this picture. You're sitting there thinking, this is the best football player in this draft, but I have some concerns. I'm entering – we're entering year 3, a pivotal year 3 in – kind of maybe not make or break, but sort of make or break in whether or not we're going to be here anymore. Do we pick this guy who can be dominant at a premier position in the NFL and a position of need for us? Or are we concerned that we're going to end up with egg on our face? It's not an easy decision. It's just not.
Folks, let me remind you, we're brought to you by Atlanta Sports Trips. Atlanta Sports Trips is Atlanta's first all-inclusive sports travel service with the goal of sending you to see your favorite teams, be it the Georgia Bulldogs, Braves, Falcons, Hawks, Jackets, Atlanta United on the road, to see them play, but do it in style. 4- and 5-star resort accommodations, great game tickets, very cool meet and greets, tailgates, wonderful experiences all wrapped into one, and we have our next trip planned to see the Bravos in spring training. Yes, we'll be in Clearwater Beach because we wanted to combine a great beach vacation with a chance to watch spring training. We've done that with 3 days, March 10th, 11th, and 12th at the Wyndham Grand Clearwater Beach, where you're going to have your toes in the sand, a beautiful 4-star resort, and we're going to take you to see the Bravos and the Pirates in Bradenton on that Sunday the 12th. You're going to get transfers from the hotel to the ballpark and back with a couple of very cool experiences along the way. If you would like to join us, you can go to atlsportstrips.com to book. Very limited room availability. It will sell out, and we want you aboard. Go to atlsportstrips.com for more today.
Home field advantage exists in baseball. Insurance, too. Your local trusted choice independent insurance agents are active members of your community. They'll always have your back. Find a local auto, home, or business insurance agent at trustedchoice.com.
Folks, you just heard from Smoltzy, and you heard it from me as well. Clayton Rhodes and the Rhodes Group are my trusted choice for insurance agents. They've been my agent for a long time, and they serve all of Metro Atlanta. To get up to 10 auto insurance quotes in less than 10 minutes, visit rhodes-group.com/churnoff today. That's rhodes-group.com/churnoff. Josh Kendall's with us, Falcons beat writer from The Athletic. He's on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line, and I agree. This is... like, I think you framed it correctly. They might not be battling for a job in year 3, but if year 3 doesn't go well, all of a sudden year 4 is a very tenuous situation. And I'm going to compare apples to oranges, and it's not fair, but I'm going to do it anyway. Because you said it's more about the work ethic, right? And it's more about some of the things, the red flags on Jalen. So it's probably, again, not fair of me to do this, but I'm just confused about some of the decision-making when it comes to the type of players the Falcons remove and have on their board, right? They were all gung-ho, as much as they'll deny it, on Deshaun Watson, and that was going to be a done deal if the Browns didn't come in with the Godfather offer. What is their decision-making year to year on the type of players that they will cross off or they will say we want being a part of our franchise?
Well, I think that I can't give you the answer because I can't get inside their head. I think a lot of people have drawn the parallels, have said, why yes, Deshaun Watson, why no, Lamar Jackson? My opinion, the Lamar Jackson decision is strictly a business decision. The NFL and its owners are just not willing – 31 of the NFL owners, I should say, are not willing to play ball on guaranteed, fully guaranteed contracts. And if you're talking about a fully guaranteed contract, they don't even want to get in the room with you for fear that they somehow shed some legitimacy on the idea that they might ever in the future give a fully guaranteed contract. So I think, for me, that's the separator between Deshaun Watson and Lamar Jackson. In general, you know, I think that the Falcons are looking for a certain type of work ethic. I mean, you look at the guys that they've paid, the really paid, Jake Matthews, Grady Jarrett, and Chris Lindstrom. Now, defensive tackle and left tackle are premier positions in the league. Right guard is not. They just made Chris Lindstrom the highest paid guard in the NFL. A lot of the nerds and the analytics people and the numbers people will say, you are silly to pay premium money for guard. The Falcons have said, this is a guy who does it 7 days a week the way we ask him to do it, with no wavering in that. And we're going to reward him in that. So So you may not think it's a premium position. You may not think we're getting that much value on a Sunday afternoon, but we think we're getting that type of value Monday morning until Sunday night. So those are the types of players that they want to be bringing in, that they want to be rewarding. Caden Ellis, you know, that's not a guy whose name we heard a lot 2 weeks ago. Anybody, nobody was talking about Caden Ellis 2 weeks ago. This guy's had about half a season of standout NFL play in 4 years. You know, for me, that's the guy that I'm circling to say, is, you know, are they targeting the right guys?
And it's a fair conversation. So let's finish up with this, Josh, because I don't know. I'm not there as much as I used to be. I'm removed from it. But the Deshaun thing a year ago felt like Arthur Blank had his fingertips involved in it. Let's jump the line. Let's go get this. I don't know that Arthur would care enough about the public relations pushback, but there is also the angle, if we take it back to Jalen, of if they don't take him, he ends up 9 to the Bears or 10 to the Eagles or wherever he goes, and he turns into the star that the talent is, and you passed on the Georgia guy who was the star, and you had the need, and like the 15 things that could have fit. Boy, it's tough coming back from that one again.
It is. It goes back to what I'm saying. It's a difficult situation, and it's hard when you're running these organizations. It's got to be hard not to hear all those voices and hear all those very same things in your ear as you're making a decision. But I mean, I've seen Arthur Smith stand at a podium half dozen or more times and talk about the need to remove all of that from your decision-making, the need to remove emotion from your decision-making, the need to see things clearly and without all these other factors. The fact that Jalen Carter went to Georgia, that shouldn't matter to the Atlanta Falcons.
Shouldn't matter at all.
I understand. I understand the history of this, and I understand why it does, and I understand why they're hearing that voice in their ear. But if they're going to be true to what they say their decision-making process is, they're not going to be thinking about that one way or the other.
The good news for me is I just get to second guess whatever they do. I'm not held responsible if they get it right or wrong. Josh does, like I said, a phenomenal job. Check him out at The Athletic and on social media, on Twitter is a great follow. Josh Kendall there does a phenomenal job. Josh, it's a pleasure. Thanks for the time. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks for having me.
Coming up next, the best of the rest. Who are the best free agents on the board for the Falcons who still have money to spend? And what can we look for as far as pass rushers at number 8? We'll get front office Los's opinion on that next.
Folks, let me remind you, we're brought to you by Atlanta Sports Trips. Atlanta Sports Trips is Atlanta's first all-inclusive sports travel service with the goal of sending you to see your favorite teams, be it the Georgia Bulldogs, Braves, Falcons, Hawks, Jackets, Atlanta United on the road, to see them play, but do it in style. 4- and 5-star resort accommodations, great game tickets, very cool meet and greets, tailgates, wonderful experiences all wrapped into one. And we have our next trip planned to see the Bravos in spring training. Yes, we'll be in Clearwater Beach because we wanted to combine a great beach vacation with a chance to watch spring training. We've done that with 3 days, March 10th, 11th, and 12th at the Wyndham Grand Clearwater Beach, where you're going to have your toes in the sand, a beautiful 4-star resort, and we're going to take you to see the Bravos and the Pirates in Bradenton on that Sunday the 12th. You're going to get transfers from the hotel to the ballpark and back with a couple of very cool experiences along the way. If you would like to join us, you can go to atlsportstrips.com to book. Very limited room availability. It will sell out, and we want you aboard. Go to atlsportstrips.com for more today.
Hey, are you tired of shopping your car and home insurance every single year? Well, somebody's got to do it. But that somebody doesn't have to be you. At the Rose Group, we can get you up to 10 insurance quotes in less than 10 minutes. Visit us online today at rose-group.com.
All right, Los, we got a lot of ground to cover. I know you're starting to count down to the draft with your big board. We're going to talk about the edge rush position, which I know a lot of Falcon fans care about. We'll do that here in a couple of moments. Falcons added another couple of pieces over the weekend, including a wide receiver and Mac Hollins. So let's look at the rest of the board. And by my math, Los, after the Hollins deal, I think the Falcons still have $23 or $24 million left. And if we all account for about $5 million, they'll save for the draft and maybe $4 or $5 million for emergency purposes, they still have some money to spend.
Yeah, sure do, Matt. Plan on that that 5 to 7 because they do have a top 10 pick, so it's a little bit more than usual. But that's typically a pretty good number, right around $20 million to spend. And if they want to have something in reserve, especially if you want to try and line out any future contracts with anybody who deserves an extension during the season, you can do that. As far as the best girl left at the ball, as far as the pass rushers, that's still Ngakoue. He's still out there. We are talking about a player at 28 years old, 9.5 sacks last year. What's interesting is now that we get to week three of NFL free agency, you realize the prices are starting to come down. And now we're seeing a lot of players signing one-year deals to get the foot in the door to see what they can do next year in free agency. That's somebody that's out there. We brought up Jadeveon Clowney. That's a 30-year-old player, but again, not going to be the crazy amount of money. Then there's just the random guys if you're looking for something. Leonard Floyd is still out there at 31 years old. There's even a Connor McGovern, which I kind of have an interest of him as an interior line player, a guy who's played guard and center. He played last year with the Jets. He's just 30 years old. If you're looking for somebody on the interior offensive line, he's somebody that can help you. And so there's a handful of those guys out there that you can still take an interest in as of right now.
So I think the price tag part of this becomes fascinating, and I'll give you two examples. I really thought C.J. Gardner-Johnson was going to draw a bigger number, and it turned out he got a one-year, $8 million deal from Detroit. I thought a Matt Collins on the open market after a really good year would have garnered double what the Falcons gave him. So patience pays off, and you just mentioned some of the names. I'm still not crossing off Justin Houston, who had 9.5 sacks a year ago. Leonard Floyd, I think, makes a lot of sense. You mentioned Yannick Ngakoue. There's a chance the Falcons end up signing one of those guys on a show me for a lot, and I'll use the word cheaper, than we would have expected.
We saw something similar last year with Rashawn Evans, a player who was still a young player. Here's a one-year deal. Let's see what you got. And that, you know, I think that kind of paid off for the Falcons. You saw something, you might consider bringing him back another time. But there's other players that are like that at eight, like A'shaun Robinson, 28 years old. He's played with the Rams. He's been a force inside with the run. If you're looking to reinforce this defensive line, those are the kind of guys that are out there probably on one-year deals that can come in and give you a little bit of light.
The other part I know for Falcon fans, even after the Mac Hollins signing, is there another wide receiver out there? DJ Chark, at last report, still is not inked. Am I correct? So that's one of those free agents that maybe is the best remaining on the board. And I say best because we don't know what Odell Beckham really wants or his health scenario. I wonder if Chark is one of those guys that people are still digging into.
Chark is one that we have brought up a number of different times. I know a lot of people would bring it up, you know, Mecole Hardman. I think that at this point, because we've now seen what the MO of the front office is, it's going to be size. Now, may that change where they have one guy that they use as their burner who's a little bit smaller? Maybe. But if you are talking about, I'm looking for size, that's where DJ Chark fits with what they've been doing. That's a 6'4", 205-pound receiver there.
Well, you mentioned the size, right? That's clearly, I mean, even last season, the Falcons didn't keep any of the surplus guys that they had, but they all fit the model. And when you have Desmond Ridder, who had concerns about accuracy coming out of college, give me catch radius. Give me 6'3", 6'4", 6'5". And even to some extent, what they just did with Mac Hollins fits that.
Yeah, everything fits the look of what they want. And I think what it comes down to is when you talk about the Tennessee Titans, when they were at their very best, they were just big. They're big up front defensively. They're big up front offensively. They had drafted four first-round linemen, and every single one of their players was big. And I think that's going to be the MO. Obviously, they had the super jumbo running back. But again, their receivers were big. Their tight ends could get down the field. They were big. That is what Atlanta's building as of right now offensively, and hopefully as the draft progresses defensively as well.
Front office Los Carlos Medina is with us on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line. Okay, let's transition, because the edge rush position in the draft, that might be the go-to if the Falcons stay at eight, and if whatever pipe dream of Jalen Carter not being there. Let's start with some of the names that might be there at eight that you think could make sense for the Falcons.
Well, I will tell you this. Good news and bad news. One, there are a lot of these guys. There's a lot of players that I think are going to end up running. I think as of now, I have 10 edge players in my top 50. That's a lot of edge depth. There's going to be a lot of edge players in this draft. There's going to be a lot of tight ends in this draft. Cornerbacks, wide receivers, you know, offensive tackles. That's predominantly going to make up a whole lot of this stuff. You're just going to have a very limited amount of running backs and very little amount of interior offensive linemen. But I will say this. Outside of Will Anderson Jr., I wouldn't take any one of these guys at eighth overall.
Wow.
That's the first thing I would point out. And Will Anderson, you know, obviously he's probably a top three, top four player in this draft. The problem that I'm running into is each one of them has a little something that at eight I don't care for. For instance, I think we all love Nolan Smith. We all love Nolan Smith's game. I made a comparison to him last week when I compared him to Vic Beasley, and yet people freak out. Here's the reason why. Nolan Smith is weighing in at 238 pounds. All right? Yeah, you know, he's a 4.3 guy, okay? So he's incredibly fast. We all know that he has a lot more heart than Vic Beasley. But 238 pounds, you can't play on the edge of the defense on a regular basis. You're more of a specialty piece. Another guy that gets talked about, Tyree Wilson, the big defensive end from Texas Tech. We're talking 6'6", 271 pounds. The first thing I wrote about, does not have an explosive first step on the snap of the football. That bothers me. If I'm going at eight, one person you might be able to convince me of, and it might if you're in a trade-down scenario, Miles Murphy from Clemson. He's got the prerequisite size, 6'5", and 268. He does play with his hair on fire. He does have the explosive first step. I still got to go through some more of his tape. I was planning on doing a little bit more tonight. But when you start talking about some of these guys at eight, Matt, I feel a lot better about some of the corners out there. I feel a lot better about offensive tackles. I'm not sure, outside of Will Anderson, that there is a pass rusher that should be there at eight.
What do you think about the Iowa kid that all of a sudden is starting to get a lot of attention? It seems like the steam, as they like to call it, here a little more than 6 weeks away from the draft, is picking up.
Lucas Von Ness has the stuff you're looking for. We're talking 6'5", 272 is what he weighed in at the combine. Went and ran a silly 4.58 for his size. The only thing I'm going to point out, and this is not a knock on him, this is the fact that he redshirted and then he played 2 years at Iowa. He's yet to make a start in college. Okay, it makes it fun when you say, hey, I drafted a guy eighth overall, never had a start in college. He has been like a stand-up edge rusher. He has played both sides. He's shown the ability. This is a guy that even as a second-team guy was racking up numbers for that team. Again, all Big Ten, but was never a starter. So he's athletic. He's a player. I just don't know if I want to do that at eight in terms of the fact that he's not he's not the greatest athlete off the snap. He's a little bit heavy-footed. The change of direction quarterbacks are going to be able to run away from him. But if you're just talking about putting somebody in there that's probably straight ahead and go get quarterbacks, if they're statues, he can get to them.
So I think the fascinating part of the way the top end of the draft is going to play, we all assume it's one of the quarterbacks, and most people think Stroud 1 to Carolina and then Bryce Young 2 to Houston. The question is, does anybody trade up to 3 if they have a hankering for Will Levis or Anthony Richardson? And then whoever's left of that duo of Levis and Richardson, Levis, we could have 4 of these quarterbacks off the board in the top 4, 5, or 6. Then you're talking about Will Anderson. Now you're through 5 picks in the draft, and then it comes down to, preference. I have the beholder of one of these offensive linemen. If somebody's willing, which is, I can't believe I'm saying this, take a chance on Jalen Carter, which is dumb. Yes, take a chance on Jalen Carter. And then one of these two corners, like all of a sudden the Falcons are going to be on the board with a couple of different options of what they want to go fill.
Let me tell you the difference in where I think the top end of the pass rushers versus the next grouping of pass rushers. To me, Will Anderson, if somebody told you it's going to take a second rounder or a third rounder is probably no doubt about it. Second rounder, I'd really have to weigh it out. But if somebody said you can come up to 5 and take Will Anderson at 5 because the quarterbacks blew off the board rather than waiting till 8, Will Anderson's not going to make it till 8. But I would consider doing that because that next level of pass rushers really probably shouldn't come off the board until we get into the 12, 14, 16 range. I'll give you another player that I did like, but I'll tell you the problem here. So Will McDonald the 4th. Just stud player, okay? Like, Will McDonald the 4th is a stud player who's been able to sack quarterbacks everywhere he's been. Explosive first snap. He recorded 22 combined sacks in 2021 and 2020. That's the kind of player that he's been. He plays for Iowa State. The problem is, when you start looking at the tape, it's really good. Then you realize, wait a minute, he's 239 pounds. He's not going to play for you. He gets run over in the run game, and so he's a specialty piece. That's what you end up getting as we get into the 20s and the 25s. So when anybody says, well, I'll trade down, I'll take a player, you're getting much lesser of a player than if you were to move up and take a Will Anderson.
Yeah, you hope what mitigates moving down and getting a little bit less of the player in the first round is, what are you getting with it, right? Are you able to get a second-round pick with it or something of value to move up, which is the same question as we finish up with Will Anderson. If you know, and everybody regards Will as clearly the best edge guy in this draft, and then there's a big drop, how much is the price tag to move up from 5 to 8? Not to say Will Anderson isn't worth it, but at what price?
Well, and here's the good part, okay? It's not for a quarterback, because you get the quarterback premium. People hold it over your head. We have seen in the last several years, when it is a move up for a non-quarterback, you're typically not having your feet put to the fire in the same way. Because when it's a quarterback, man, you get the premium, you get the first rounder next year, you get everything else. When it tends to be for a position player, it has typically been a second round pick or a third round pick, depending on what part of the round you're in. I would imagine because it's Will Anderson, it would probably end up having to be a second rounder if you wanted to move up from 8 to 4 or 5 to draft a player like that.
Los is going to be an enormous asset for us as we close in on the draft. We hit the second and third waves of free agency. Los, Always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you.
Take it easy, Matt.
Thanks, everybody, so much for taking the time to listen to this week's edition of Welcome to Matt Atlanta. Thanks to our producer, Matt Lear, for his assistance with the program. He's the glue that keeps the operation running. We'll talk to you next week on Welcome to Matt Atlanta.
Hey, everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Camp Margaritaville RV Resort, where you can just breathe in and breathe out. Or move. There's biking, boating, arcade games, hiking, nearby golfing. Or fly through the new Fins Up Water Park. Thrills, chills, twists, and turns. This could be you. Camp Margaritaville at Lanier Islands, an easy 1 hour drive from Atlanta. Book your stay today at CampMargaritavilleLanierIslands.com.